Okay, great stuff. Good morning. How are we doing this morning? Is it great to be back together in church? I love hearing some of the stories from the One event. Hope you do too. We recognize that it's not practical or possible for everyone to come and be with us at the One event. But we recognize that as church, we'd love to be part of something bigger. So those of you who don't know, we're part of Ground Level. We're a ground level church. One event is a ground level event. Takes place every year. This was the 38th year. I've only been for 37 of them, missing one where me and Mummy went to Portugal to run a kids club for a week. Anyway, it's more information than you need, but we love to be. We want to give you some of that feedback, because if you're part of Ashwood Church, then effectively you're part of something bigger, and One event is that thing. So not everyone can be there practically, but there's a sense that spiritually we're part of that thing together. And this morning, Zoe's absolutely right. Now I want to speak to us for a few moments about transformation. If you've been part of the Ashwood Church family over the last 7 or 8 months, you'll know that we, at the end of last year, felt that God was speaking to us as a church about 2019 being a year of transformation. And we felt that that meant a lot of different things for us as individuals, but for us as church as well. And as we come back in September, there's just this sense that actually we're going to pick up some things, we're going to relaunch some things. And I just believe with all my heart really strongly that God is saying that he hasn't finished with us yet in terms of transformation. And if nothing else this morning, I just want each one of us to go home with that sense of faith in our spirit, saying, actually, God, what is it that you want to do in me for the remainder of this year? And of course, there's nothing that says as soon as the clock strikes on the 1st of January 2020 that God's finished with transformation. He won't do any of that anymore, and it was only this year. But there is always a sense that if God is saying something to us, we want to be obedient, we want to be faithful, we want to be able to respond to what he's saying in the timeline that he has. You know, God works within seasons, and there's that very strong sense that this year for us is a season of transformation. How many people are still believing that God's got something up his supernatural divine sleeves in terms of transformation for our lives this year? So we're going to pray as we close our meeting this morning. And so that's where we're heading. I'd love you to just be thinking, God, what is it that you're saying in terms of my faith and my opportunity to be involved, connected with this whole thing of transformation? This morning, I want us to just very quickly look at a couple of Bible passages. If you've got your Bible, we're going to head to the book of Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. In fact, we're going to look at a couple of chapters, so you can flick a page over. We're going to start in chapter 3, but we're going to end up as well in chapter 5 for some of that time as well. So we're going to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Am I on this one now? Is that good? I can feel it. There it is. It's definitely on. It's really on. So 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and we're going to look starting at verse 7. Lots of things that we love about One event. Sometimes we pick up some new habits. I wonder, one of the things I loved, you've been sat down for a little while now. I wonder if we could stand up together, those who are able. One of the things that one of the speakers does, he says, if you don't mind, in my church, we stand up reading the Word of God. He's from Australia. No, he wasn't. So I just wondered this morning, as we read God's word, I'm not saying we're going to do this every single week. Please don't send me an email. Why have we stopped honoring God? We haven't done that. So I'm just saying, for this morning, let's stand together and read God's word and honor God's word this morning. So this is from verse 7. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. The words are on the screen as well. It says this. This is Paul speaking to the church at Corinth, struggling church. There's things that he's helping them with. It says this. The old way, with laws etched in stone, led to death. Though it began with such glory that the people of Israel could not bear to look at Moses' face, for his face shone with the glory of God, even though the brightness was already fading away. Just imagine that picture. Shouldn't we expect far greater glory under the new way, now that the Holy Spirit is giving life? If the old way, which brings condemnation, was glorious, how much more glorious is the new way, which makes us right with God? In fact, that first glory was not glorious at all compared with the overwhelming glory of the new way. So if the old way, which has been replaced, was glorious, how much more glorious is the new which remains forever? You can hear what Paul's saying here. He's saying the old way was good, but the new way is so much better. If you thought the old way was good, which it was, it's nothing compared to the new way. We'll talk about that in a moment. Verse 12, since this new way gives us such confidence, we can be very bold. Everybody? We can be very bold. Let's do that. We are not like Moses, who put a veil over his face so the people of Israel would not see the glory, even though it was destined to fade away. But the people's minds were hardened. This is a bit of an aside. And to this day, whenever the old covenant is being read, the same veil covers their minds so that they cannot understand the truth. And this veil can be removed only by believing in Christ. Yes, even today, when they read Moses' writings, their hearts are covered with that veil and they do not understand. Verse 16, but whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. For the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. This is the word of God, and it's incredibly good. Amen. God, I pray that you would speak to us today. Lord, we thank you for your word. We pray that you'd open our eyes to see the things that you are speaking into our lives. And God, I pray that you would cause us to be quick and obedient to respond to what you're saying to us this morning. We thank you that we can have the same boldness that Moses had. Give us it today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can sit down if you are able. Just add that. We always do it when we're standing up, so why not when we're sitting down? So, just for a few minutes, just thinking about this passage. And I guess the first thing is, when this whole topic of transformed lives, I just want to make 2 points from this Bible passage about what transformed lives look like. And the first thing to notice in this passage is, and I emphasized it as I was reading it, is that Paul is describing something here, and he's making a very strong comparison between what happened in the Old Testament, what he describes as the old way. I haven't got time to go into it all this morning, but some of you will know what happened in the Old Testament. There was all kinds of rules and regulations, and God laid out the plan, the guidelines, and Moses went up the mountain, and he came back. He had this incredible encounter with God, one of the most probably significant moments in the Bible for lots of different reasons. And then he came down, and his face was glowing because he'd been with God. And a few weeks ago, Bob was talking, and he mentioned the fact that when we're with God, there should be some change in our lives. And I guess that's part of what I want to talk about as well this morning. But that was the old way that happened in the Old Testament. And what Paul is saying is the old way was good. It was still, I mean, he talks about it there, doesn't he? He says it was still glorious, but the new way is very different to the old way. And if the old way was good, which it was, what does Paul say? He says, in fact, that the first glory was not glorious at all compared with the overwhelming glory of the new way. So if the old way, which has been replaced, was glorious, and then he says, how much more glorious is the new? How many people know that God is the God of how much more? And that's true, and that's just a principle that is true in all areas of our lives. So he says the old way was good. The thing about the old way was it was based on performance. The new way was not based on anything that people could achieve or that people could perform. It was all based, many of us know it, on the performance of one man, Jesus Christ. And the old way, basically, the thing about the old way, it just basically reminded people that they couldn't do it on their own. So in that sense, it was good. But that was all that it did. It said, I can't do this. We can't do this on our own. We desperately need God. And of course, we know it's wonderfully true that Jesus came to take on all of, he came and he fulfilled all the requirements. He paid the price. In the Old Testament, you had to bring stuff to pay the price. You had to fulfill the requirements. Jesus came and he fulfilled the requirements and he paid the price so that the new way is totally different from the old way. And the reason I'm talking about it today is because I want to remind us that the greatest transformation is actually that we have the opportunity to become followers of Jesus. The greatest transformation that can ever take place is that we can step into a new life with Jesus in God. We can have a relationship with God In the Old Testament, you had to perform all the requirements of the law. In the New Testament, and which we live in today, we can benefit because we don't have to do any of those things. Aren't you pleased? We don't have to bring our sacrifices. We don't have to make a mess. I was going to say a bloody mess, but you know what I mean. That's what it was—a sacrifice that took place. We don't have to do any of that. How many people are pleased that this morning you don't have to come and bring a sacrifice because we can bring a sacrifice of praise because Jesus has done everything that was required? It's incredibly good news. And what Paul is describing here is he's describing the transformation that takes place. And this transformation, and that's why I want to talk about it this morning, this transformation that takes place has lots of different expressions in the Bible. One of them, Jesus explained it to this guy Nicodemus. He said he was a legal guy, and he had a really good understanding of the law. And Jesus comes to him and says, "Well, okay, what do I need to do?" And he's thinking about the priorities and the law and the things that are most important. He wants to hear what Jesus has got to say. And Jesus says, "Well, actually, you need to be born again." He's going, "Oh, I wasn't expecting that response. I thought we were going to have some kind of dialogue about the rules and the rituals and the things that happen within the temple." And he kind of blows his mind. But Jesus is opening the door to something that is transformational. It is new, and he describes it as being born again. You've probably heard that terminology before, because actually what we're talking about here, which is why it's so significant, it's why it's the biggest transformation ever, is literally like being reborn. And Nicodemus can't get his head around it, and sometimes we struggle to get our head around it. But what's actually happening, when we make a decision to put Jesus in the driving seat, to give him the priority, to make him, if you like, we describe it as Lord, the number one position in our lives, then we're actually stepping out of one thing into something else, which is completely transformational. And if you flick forward a couple of pages into chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians, it says this, the words will be on the screen as well. It says, "Anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun." So if you have made that decision that I've just described just then that is basically what's happened to you. So this morning in this room, many of us are transformed beings. Not just physically, but spiritually, we have been transformed so that we have been reborn. Tony Miller, one of the things he said last weekend, he said, "Jesus didn't come to make bad people good. He came to make dead people alive." And that's the transformation I want to just highlight for us this morning, that Jesus wasn't, he didn't come, God's intention wasn't that there was some kind of just regeneration program, although regeneration is great. What he actually came to do was to transform, to make us, make those of us who were spiritually dead, spiritually alive. And this transformation is dramatic. It spiritually, if you think about what, I don't know what you think about when you think of transformation. I've got all kinds of images in my head of things that practically are transformed. Watch some of those programs. I don't watch them, but you know the ones where they transform a house and it's all run down and then it looks different at the end. And you know, I was thinking of some of those photos. Sometimes you see where there's people who've had they've gone on some diet and they looked like one thing and then they're transformed and they look something different. I don't know what you think of when you think of transformation. One of the most famous images is the whole caterpillar to butterfly, because that just encapsulates something, doesn't it, in terms of what transformation looks like. But in order for us to understand what is happening here spiritually, we've got to recognize that there is just something which is it's there's a moment where there is a change. So spiritually dead to spiritually alive, kingdom of darkness to kingdom of light. And Paul talks about it here. He talks about this thing of seeing through the veil and then seeing things clearly. He's trying to use that analogy to express what it looks like. And he's saying, you know, and he talks about Moses, but he's saying basically we used to see things through a veil. Now we see things more clearly. It's kind of the transformation of being able to see the difference between not seeing and seeing. Then the Bible, another expression the Bible talks about is a new creation. And these are all part of what it looks like, this transformation that takes place. And the fifth one is once you are Once you become a Christian, once you become a follower of Jesus, it means that you were outside of the family of God, and then you become a child of God and you become one in God's family. So if you're looking for good news or things that are significant, important, then hopefully that short list there is one which is encouraging to you. And I want to remind us as we start this new term that actually those of us who have made that decision to follow Jesus, it's not just a small tweak, it is transformation. So first of all, if you've made that decision, then just remind you this morning that it's as stark as that. It's a contrast. It's not just something that has been, there's not an improvement program. It is totally different. That's why we sing, I ran out of the grave. Because it's literally from death to life. Now, of course, most of us, many of us, we have a journey. There's a process to get to that point of making that decision. But then once you've made that decision, that's the transformation. So, and that's our identity. That's who we are. And it's really important that we understand that's what's happened. But the second part of this passage is about transformation still, but it's more about a process. So let me talk theology for a moment. So if you, for the first part, what I've just described is what the Bible calls salvation. And that's a once, it's a moment, there's maybe a journey up to that point, but then at that point, there is salvation, death to life, darkness to light. That's the transformation that takes place. But then the Bible, another theological word, sanctification is what we describe as the ongoing process. Sanctification means to be sanctified, which is all to do with being pure and being made holy and being set apart. So what happens is, as a Christian, we make a decision, we're going to follow Jesus, that's salvation. But then the journey, the process which goes on after that is what the Bible calls sanctification. Does that make sense? Are you with me? And so in verse 18, a different translation puts it this way, and we all with unveiled face, we were able to see clearly, beholding the glory of God, are being transformed into the same image. And actually, that's the image of Jesus, from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So there's this sense that actually, and I love this little phrase that the Bible uses, that says we are being transformed from one degree of glory to another. So this isn't salvation, but this is the ongoing process of being transformed from one degree of glory to another. And what does this transformation look like? Well, I think that it looks like a number of things. It talks about being transformed into the likeness of Jesus. It doesn't mean that we're all gradually over time morphing into a dark-skinned Middle Eastern male. That would be funny, wouldn't it? That's not what it's saying. So what does it mean? Well, the transformation that takes place in us is to do with our character. As our character is transformed, then it leads to a change in our behavior, which leads to a change in our actions. So, for example, if we're becoming more like Jesus and that's going to affect our character, well, just think for a moment. I was thinking about I love this passage, I love this phrase, but I was starting to think, well, what does that actually mean for us? What does that mean if our character is changed? Well, think of Jesus' character. If we're going to become more like Jesus, which isn't anything to do with our physical appearance, what does that look like? Well, was Jesus patient? Incredibly patient. So what would we expect as we are being transformed from one degree of glory to another? More patience. Was Jesus kind in the way that he dealt with people? There's no trick questions here. Was Jesus kind with the people he dealt with? Yes, he was. So we'd expect that our character, if we're being transformed from one degree of glory to another, would have more kindness. Was Jesus forgiving in the way that he dealt with people? Yes, he was. So what we would expect that if we're being transformed from one degree of glory to another, there's going to be an increase of forgiveness. Was Jesus compassionate? Yes. You can see what this looks like, can't you? So if we're being transformed to become more like Jesus, then we'd expect that these things are going to be more, there's going to be more of that in our lives. And that's why, as in our life groups, we invested some time. Those of you who are part of a life group in the church, and if you're not, you're welcome to come and sign up and join. It's where we do life together, we learn together, we grow together. It's a place where you can form friendships and relationships. Not exclusive, but it is a place to be able to do that. And we looked at something called the character course. And we looked at some of the things that we would expect to be developing in our character. And I love the fact that we can, you know, some of those things we said, well, things might be difficult in my life, but God is building resilience and patience into me. Is that good news? Things haven't gone well for me this week, but I'm choosing to be grateful in all things. Two of the things that we talked about. I'm struggling with anxiety, but I'm learning to look for hope instead of despair. And in terms of what transformation looks like, I can't think of anything more transforming than having those things built into our life. And once our character changes, then I think that means that our behavior and our actions can also change as well. Somebody said behavior is a product of our beliefs. And as I was thinking about this, I thought, you don't behave differently to become a child of God, but when you realize that you're a child of God, you behave differently. Let's pause for a moment, because that was something good that I came up with. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was late. You don't behave differently to become a child of God. When you realize that you're a child of God, you behave differently. And that is exactly why we're so passionate about the Freedom in Christ course. Because the Freedom in Christ course, I know Dave mentioned it at the start, if you've not been involved, if you've not come into contact with it, basically it looks at some of the foundational beliefs that we believe as Christians about Jesus and about following him. Jesus said, if you know the truth will set you free. And if you think about truth for a moment, I mean, we have to be very careful, and we have to understand what Jesus was saying there. You can know about truth, but unless it's actually what you believe about truth is the thing that makes a difference. You could have truth over here, it could be the best truth in the world, but unless you know it, unless it's going to be applied to your life, then it's just an abstract concept, isn't it, of something which is beneficial to some people, but not you, because it's not been applied. And what Jesus is saying, he says, if you know the truth, then it's the truth will set you free. And the Freedom in Christ course helps us to not just understand the truth, but it's to know the truth. If you want a Greek word, the word is gnosko, and it means to intimately know something. Actually, it's a very intimate word. The biblical knowing of someone, you know how intimate that is. It's a husband and wife intimate knowing. And that's, this word is basically saying, become so intimately acquainted with the truth that actually we know it in our spirits and it makes a difference in our lives. So that's Freedom in Christ course. If you've done it, you know it's great. If you haven't, there's an opportunity. John Ortberg says this: God made you to flourish, to receive life from outside yourself, creating vitality within yourself and producing blessing beyond yourself. Flourishing is God's gift and plan. And when you flourish, you're in harmony with God, other people, creation, and yourself. Flourishing is not measured by outward signs. It means becoming the person he had in mind in creating you. God isn't trying to make you someone else. Did you know that? God is not trying to make you into someone else. God's transforming from one degree of glory to another isn't because he's identified someone who's slightly better than you in some aspect and he's trying to improve you so that you become like them. Wouldn't that be disaster? God is wanting to transform you to become like Jesus by being the best, his best version of you. Not your best version, but his best version of you. And I think a lot of this transformation, you know, I think when we talk about transformation, we're incredibly impatient, most of us, in our culture, aren't we? We have everything, we want it done immediately, we want it quick, we've only got 1 minute meals and we just don't have any time. But most of this transformation, I think, happens step by step, little by little. And I'm so pleased that I'm aware in this year so far, there are people in this room who've been transformed little by little, becoming more like Jesus, having their character adjusted and tweaked. And, you know, most of transformation, you only see it in hindsight. It's only when you look back or you have someone around you. And I'm not going to embarrass anyone this morning, but I could pick on a few people this morning and just say, do you realize, are you aware of the transformation that has taken place in your life? That you've moved things, something has shifted in your life from the start of, even from the start of this year to where you're at now, which I think is incredibly good news. We may not yet be where we want to be, but how many people are glad that we're not where we used to be? Anybody else in that camp with me? And I believe that actually what the thing that God wants to do with us is, that's why I wanted to mention it this morning, is first of all, understand that those of us who've made a decision to follow Jesus, it's done, it's finished. We don't need to mess about with it anymore. He's transformed us from death to life. It's the position that we are. It's what the Bible calls in Christ. That's our new identity. We don't have to worry about that anymore. Everything relates to who we are then in Christ. But, and wonderfully, that's not the end of the story in terms of what God wants to do in our lives. He wants to make us more like him. And he wants to transform our character from one degree of glory to another. How many people want to be part of a church that is moving forward with each one of us becoming the best version of ourselves, which is not defined by our own criteria, but it's defined by the Creator criteria who made us in the first place? And that's point one. And we're going to forget about the other two. Why don't we... come round to my house tonight, and we'll do points two and three. They were shorter anyway, but I'd rather that we respond to what God is saying. So I want us to pray. I'd like us to pray for a moment. I'd love us to just pause for one moment. Then we'll pray together. I believe with all my heart that God is speaking, this word of transformation is speaking to us as individuals. It's also speaking to us as church. If you're new to Ashwood, you're going, am I included in this? Am I excluded in this? Well, I guess that's really up to you. you're welcome to join in with what I believe God is speaking to us. And I think there is something significant. That's why we ask people, say, well, if you're part of us, then there is a difference between, you know, people who are planted in church together. I believe that that's what God does, that analogy of being planted. Then we get to benefit from the things that God is saying to us as community. And I just get the sense that God wants to do some things in our lives in terms of transformation. So let's do this a couple of ways. First of all, this morning, if you're recognizing that you're saying yes to God's ongoing transformation in your life, you're saying, God, I want to open myself up to you, changing me from one degree of glory to another, then I guess this is quite a few of us. I'm first there. I wonder if we could just stand as an outward expression of what we're saying before God. If you can't stand up on the inside, that's fine. Because, you know, God can do whatever he wants. He's sovereign. He's all powerful. If he wants to intervene in our lives, he can do that. But my observation is that he very rarely comes where we don't invite him. He very rarely comes and takes over where he's not welcome. So I think it is important and significant that we welcome and acknowledge the transforming nature of the Holy Spirit in our lives to make us the version of ourselves that God wanted us to be or wants us to be. So for this moment, not going to dwell on this for too long, but I just like us with our eyes closed just to adopt a posture of saying, God, that's me. I've heard what you're saying to me this morning. I want to respond to your word. I want to put myself in that position I'm grateful for people around me who are a support, who are a help. But God, this is my choice. This is my active participation in your ongoing changing of transforming of my life. I just want you just to have that conversation with God for a moment. Then we'll pray. Then we'll do the final part of what we want to do this morning. God, we're standing this morning as an outward sign, an outward expression of your children who's saying, we want to actively participate in you transforming our lives. God, we're grateful for what you've done. We're grateful that you've brought us from death to life. We're grateful that we are no longer under the powers of darkness, but we have stepped into the wonderful light of Jesus Christ, the light of the world. We're grateful this morning that positionally we're alive. But what we're saying this morning, God, is as we thank you for that, we want to actively welcome your involvement in our lives to make us the people that you've called us to be. And God, this morning we throw off anything that would hinder us, anything that would hold us back. Lord, I thank you that even this morning, as I was praying, I just know that for some people there is a transformation, a renewing of our mind. There's a transformation in the conversations that we have, not with other people, but conversations that we have with ourselves. The conversations where we say, I'm not good enough, I'm not worthy, I don't meet the requirements, I don't live up to the standard. This morning, an opportunity for a transformation in those conversations. And even now, Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are the great change agent. Thank you that you come into our lives to make us more like Jesus. Thank you that you're coming this morning with the ability to endure, with the ability to be patient, with a new steadfastness and a new courage and a new boldness, determination to step into the things of God that he has for us and to be the men and women that he's called us to be. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. We receive you into our lives. We thank you. We acknowledge who you are. We welcome your involvement in our lives. Amen. And finally, as we close, I'd just like you to look at something for a moment. I would like you to look with the eyes of faith to the thing that God is putting in front of you, which will be different for many of us in terms of the expectation of transformation of some area that God is speaking specifically to you about. I know because I know some of you in this room that there is a sense that you need a breakthrough for something. There are some of us who need a breakthrough in terms of physical healing in our bodies. Some of us who need a breakthrough in our, maybe there's a work situation. Maybe there is a breakthrough that we need in terms of provision or in terms of our finances. As we were praying over the early part of the summer, we felt that God was speaking to us. We mentioned it in some of our Sunday meetings, that God was speaking to us about breakthrough. We felt that we'd been praying it, but we felt that September would be a significant time for us as church to pray for breakthrough. Some of those things are individual, some of them are corporate, and I'm warning you because I just want you to raise your levels of faith and expectations. Next Sunday, we mentioned our Transformed Worship Night. We're going to give an evening of worship, but also to pray for breakthrough. So if you've got an individual situation, you're going, I need some breakthrough in this, then please come and we will pray during that evening for breakthrough for you. We'll pray together. We kind of want to set aside, starting next Sunday, a couple of weeks where we're just going to intentionally, deliberately pursue God for the area of breakthrough. And there's a few things I just feel God might be putting in front of us. At the start of the year, we talked about some of the transformation. I felt that God wants to do some works in Ashwood Church in terms of marriage transformation. I was saying to God, what are you going to transform in my life? And I felt him saying, well, one of the things, you're going to experience some transformation in your marriage. Took Claire out for lunch. That was Claire says, that was transformational even at the start. No. But we had a conversation, and this year's been an interesting one for us, but I can say, Claire's got her eyes closed, so it's fine, that I know God has been working in our marriage this year. You know, there's things, we are stronger this year. Our marriage is a stronger, healthier marriage. It wasn't bad before. It wasn't like there was things, you know, that were dire or in a mess. There's always improvement, folks, but I just know that God has been doing that for us personally. And I believe this morning that one of the things that maybe some of us were going, God's saying to some of you, there's marriage transformation. Good news, it's not age dependent. There's very few things, I think, in the kingdom that are age dependent. But God, I believe, wants to do some transformation. So are we okay just for one more moment? Love you just consider what is the one thing that God is putting in front of you. What is, you can have more than one, that's fine. I'm just simple. I'm just trying to keep it simple this morning. But this morning, as we reach out, as we close our time together, I'd love us just to put down a marker. Just say, God, what is the thing that I'm going to believe for in September, maybe, in terms of breakthrough, in terms of transformation? If you need to talk to someone else about it because you're going to stand with someone and agree, then that's fine. You can do that this morning. Our prayer team can pray with you. They don't have to know exactly, you don't have to know all the details, but they will stand alongside you. They'll pray with you and pray for you. There are some transformations that involve shifts as well. I don't know if there's house moves or job moves, family situations that are going to get restored. So let's just think for a moment. God, we just each one of us now are just imagining by faith this picture of what you're putting in front of us, what we're going to be believing for, what you're saying. Could this be the breakthrough? Could this be the moment of transformation? God, we welcome a gift of faith to us. Thank you that you're here. Thank you that you're present. Thank you that your presence is here. Thank you that you're the God who transforms situations. Thank you that you use us, your church, to impact and affect our world and our community. So God, with our hands raised before you, we just declare that we're going to be the people who hear your word and respond to it. Believe that you're saying that this is a season of transformation. God, you said it to us at the start of this year. We believe it, God. We thank you that you're changing and transforming lives. Thank you for the evidence that we see. And thank you that you're also working, God, even when we can't see you're working, even when we can't feel it, you're working, God. You're bringing change, you're bringing transformation to our lives, to our church, and to our world. We thank you for what you're doing, God. We say we're committed to seeing through the process that you've begun, transformation in our lives. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. Jonathan.